She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And believe me, we're going to give you a lot to think about today. This show is sponsored by Chapman Tucson. Their dealership sells some of the most clean-burning, fuel-efficient cars on the road today. Of course, Mrs. Green loves that, and we thank them for their support. So let's get ready to totally switch topics from last week's show about the last ocean, and our guest was Peter Young, and get ready to hear about an amazing company with a powerful driving force behind their mission. Please join me in welcoming Bridget Luther. She is the president of Cradle to Cradle Products Innovation Institute. This nonprofit institute is an agent of change through open source information. Bridget not only comes to the Institute with a very long history of involvement in environmental protection and efforts to protect natural resources for future generations, but she was also a mom on a mission to look out world. Nothing more important than that from where I sit. Moms and grandmoms, we're going to be the future of the planet. Bridget is working to protect our children and the environment. She fully realizes how important it is to create healthy, safe products and to create them in ways that are beneficial for the long-term health and abundance of the planet. And every one of those words is meaningful and impactful when you do your research about this company. So Bridget, thank you for being with us, and let's just start the questions going.
And learn and know what we're doing.
Okay, I mean, there's so much. I said to you when I called to set up the call, it's like, it's vast. It's a very vast sea, and I want to hear very little from me and a lot from you. And I always like to start from the macro with William McDonough and Michael, I think you say his name, Brongart, Dr. Brongart. What was their vision? How did they start, and what was their vision when they started Cradle to Cradle?
Their vision was a world of abundance. And lots of times when we think about the environment, we start thinking about, well, we need to do with less. We should use less energy. We should have fewer people. We should not buy as much stuff. But if you look at nature, nature is full of abundance, and it's just incredible things. And one of the best stories they always tell is, look at a cherry tree, and you would never say, there's too many blossoms. Why did the cherry tree produce so many blossoms? Because each one's important. It's either producing fruit, or it's going down and becoming compost for the next cherry tree. And that's kind of the world they had visioned, where everything was kept in cycles. And that's sort of that cradle-to-cradle vision, where everything just keeps going around. Nothing ever goes to the grave or to the landfill. So when I talk, I often say, now just close your eyes for a minute and imagine your own cabinet in your bathroom. And all the stuff that's in there is going someplace amazing. It's either going into the compost pile and becoming nutrients for the soil, or it's getting recycled into something and coming back as another shampoo bottle, or maybe it's coming back as the front of a car. And that is kind of the world I love, and why I got so inspired, like so many people, to help bring this vision to the rest of the world.
And I love the concept that was written about in the research. Could you explain a little bit about zero is not our hero? Because I think that is that abundance mentality. It's not to have zero impact or zero waste. Talk about zero is not our hero. I love that.
Yeah, zero is, nobody wants to be zero. And you really can't even get to zero. You can't get to zero carbon, because even when we die, we're emitting carbon. So even if we got rid of all the people, we still have carbon emissions on the world. So what we often say is that, so let's have everything we do have a positive impact, and that's the mission of our organization, is how do we design products so that they have a positive impact. So everything you're getting, when you give it back, it's becoming something better, and we're preserving resources and we're not creating landfills. And in that way, things go in these amazing abundant cycles. So we don't really need zero if we're creating positive impact. So we should be talking about what's the positive thing that we can do with our stuff and the way we operate and the way we produce products. And that's sort of zero is really not our hero.
I know. I love it. It was like, I wish I thought of that. So then there's the core philosophies, the vision for all of this. But then there's the actual certified product standard process that the Institute administers that's publicly available. So can you talk a little bit about what the actual process is and what kinds of things you look at when you're doing the, assessment of a product?
Well, many times when we hear a visionary talk, we will think that how amazing it is, and then you'll walk away and you'll think, well, there's nothing I can really do with this. I can see that person has this great vision and I'd love to do something, but you don't really know how. And so the certification program that's part of what the Institute is scaling up around the world is part of the implementation of a cradle-to-cradle vision. So you take a product and you say, what am I making it out of? Because if it's going to go into the soil, it needs to be all safe and healthy materials, because that soil is then going to be composted and become food. We certainly wouldn't want to put a lot of toxic materials in our soil, whether it was the dyes in the package of a cereal box. The cereal box is easy to recycle, but maybe it wants to be composted, and we don't want a bunch of toxic dyes in that box. In the same way that we would want nutrient cycles for the technical sphere. So a car, a refrigerator, a chair, your cell phone, those are all technical nutrients, and they have really super valuable materials that you want to keep going around. So when you're designing your product, you're thinking, well, what's happening at the end of use, not end of life? So you'd want to have a place for that material to get collected and for those materials to be reused. The best example, of course, is all the work that we've done with furniture manufacturers. They've done an amazing job as part of their certification to make sure that they designed a chair so that when it comes to somebody else, all those materials, whether it's nylon or polymer or aluminum, are readily available for the next life, for the next round of use. And then there's this whole idea of designing for reuse and those material reuse cycles, and that's part of the certification. So we check to see that they've actually thought through where is the material going next. The best example of that is the carpet companies. A lot of carpet companies, and particularly Shaw Carpet, who has a cradle-to-cradle certified carpet, get carpet back and they turn it right into new carpet. And they save money by doing that, and they certainly save resources. So there's this huge environmental benefit, and they also have just super engaged customers, because the customer is always calling them and saying, hey, take back the old carpet. And the guy on the end of the phone says, hey, yeah, don't you want some new carpet? So there's this enhanced relationship with customers. One of the really cool projects that we've done recently is this whole Puma. Puma had designed an in-cycle collection, and they have boxes in their stores, and they get the track jackets back, the tennis shoes, the t-shirts, and they're recycling those actually into new products, new Puma products, and it's a really fun YouTube video called just YouTube Puma In-Cycle Collection, and they're still very involved with us on creating new collections just like that. The other part of not just what's in your product and how you're making it, the other part of the certification and part of the vision of the world that Bill and Michael paint is like, why don't we just do everything with renewable energy? And it's very different from counting your carbon. Counting your carbon only tells you what you are. It doesn't really take you to where you want to be. And the companies that produce cradle-to-cradle certified products have a plan for how they're going to move to completely renewable energy. And it's a real positive path. It's not about, oh, I'm going to reduce my carbon by 20% or anything like that. It's committing the financial resources to actually go to completely renewable energy in the production of your product. The fourth part of the certification, and this is for companies that really, really want to, be the good guys.
Right.
Yeah, they're all over this.
They got to want it.
Yeah, they got to want it. The water stewardship piece is so interesting because a lot of what's going on with water right now is reducing your water intake and output. But in cradle to cradle, it's actually about cleaning water on the way out so that there's this whole water stewardship and looking at the landscape around your production facilities. What are we doing to the watershed? You know, how are we cleaning water so that it actually becomes cleaner on the way out than it is on the way in? Now, this is at higher levels. The interesting thing about the certification program is it's continuous improvement. So you can get on the team, you can get a basic certification, and then you're required to make movement on every part of the certification. Every couple of years you get recertified, and we want to know what you've done. So you started a basic certification, you move up to bronze, silver, gold, and then platinum. And at the high levels in the water stewardship, at the platinum level, water is drinking water quality on the way out of the manufacturing facility. And if you could just imagine for 1 minute all those polluted rivers in China because of all the textile manufacturing, adopting a cradle-to-cradle certification platform, that in our lifetime we could actually clean up rivers because companies have not decided to comply with a bunch of regulations or, you know, all, you know, use less toxic things. They've actually committed to making water cleaner, and that could have huge impact worldwide. The final part of certification is, are you making the community better where you're producing your products? So there's this whole social fairness, social responsibility piece of cradle-to-cradle certification where we really want, you know, if we're making a lot of amazing products and making them great for the planet, we also need to make, you know, make sure that the people that are making the products are being treated fairly and the community that you're producing your products in is actually becoming better. And we've got companies that have cradle-to-cradle certified products that have moved into China, moved into India. And, you know, they're very aware of, you know, the cradle-to-cradle certification, the report they're going to send to the institute, and we're going to be looking at it, and we're going to be saying, you know, this is great, and we'd love to give you that higher level of certification. Right now, we have most of our products are silver certified. We have probably 50 or 60 products that are in the gold certification. And we're hoping to have some platinum certified products this year because we see, one thing, renewable energy is getting a lot cheaper, so it's easier to make those investments in renewable energy and just the whole encompassing of the whole certification platform itself is really powerful.
And that's another, when you're talking about that, that is exactly what you mean by starting an evolution instead of a revolution. It's constantly evolving. So you're going to look at them and then go relook at them and relook at them where there's, you know, forward progress based on innovation and technology. Let's talk a little bit about, like, for the, I think there's, you know, I always have these long, long lists of questions, and then you bring some things that I want to go back to. So with the carpet. When I was getting new carpet, I was had started my journey as Mrs. Green, looked into it, thought, oh, I definitely have to get, you know, certified organic cotton carpet. Wrong. I ended up getting Shaw carpet. So can you explain a little bit about why that is? And I think that really relates to the material health that Bill talks about in the YouTube video, his TED Talk, actually, about the material health. Certified organic cotton would not have been a good choice for my carpet.
Or, you know, organic wool is another thing. The cost of putting it into carpet is very high. It's not very easy to recycle. It's not, it doesn't repel liquids very well, so they have to spray it with some sort of finishing product on it. So by the time you get the wool, it's then got all this stuff on it. It's much easier to embed those properties into a piece of nylon, and then it doesn't start, you know, impacting everybody that's walking on it or maybe crawling across it. So, yeah, it's the work that Shaw has done is pretty incredible because they actually have a nylon 6 product, which also means that the backing of it does not have any off-gassing. Have you ever walked into a newly carpeted place and had that overwhelming smell?
Awful.
That's a smell you don't want. That is not good. You do not want to be closing the door and living in that for any point of time. If you smell that smell, you should be opening windows, and you should keep them open for several weeks. I actually get a headache from it now, and some people have actually, they actually have diseases from this type of off-gassing and can't even, like, go into a mall because of all the off-gassing from these toxic products. But, yeah, you're right. The footprint of a cotton carpet is much higher than the footprint of a nylon carpet, and then you have the added things of, you know, having to try to treat a material that's not really something that you should be walking on. You should be wearing it.
You should be wearing it. And it's to me, it's one of the takeaway here is to look a little bit closer, more closely, and see what comes to top of mind is not necessarily always going to be the best choice. And just a little added to your comment about, you know, environmental disease, I got an emergency phone call from a friend of mine, and her friend was deathly ill, and she said she just had all new carpet put in. Could it be that? And I said, absolutely, positively could be. And it ended up, it was. The toxicity from the off-gassing made her very sick, and she had to move out of the house, and they had to, you know, replace the carpet, which is really disruptive. So it's really scary. I mean, it's not just something that we can take lightly. It's a huge responsibility to me, to the manufacturers, which by and large a lot of them ignore. What about the social responsibility part? Was that always part of the initial vision? Because It's much more topical now, because people would think of, like you said, renewable energy and using solar and recycling the water. But what about the social responsibility part? To me, it's such a huge component. And was that always part of the core values and the piece of it, that a piece that had to be considered from when you started the certification?
Yeah, so the certification started when Bill and Michael were working with individual companies who were very inspired by their book and wanted to try to make things in a cradle-to-cradle way. And so when they developed the certification back in 2006, they said, you know, we should make this one of the criteria because it's really important. It doesn't go quite as far in the supply chain as you would want. It's basically right at the manufacturing site. So we're not going into Bangladesh factories or anything like that, but it was part of the original piece, and it's always been part of their thinking from the very beginning. So it's not just about intelligent product design, which was Dr. Brungardt's original name for the cradle-to-cradle certification program, but it's also about, you know, intelligent people and their welfare, and, yeah, it's always been part of the origin. But so, just so everybody understands, you know, it's easy to read the book and say, wow, this would be something great, and to pull it off the shelf. But the program we've got is something that's been implemented by more than 200 companies, representing, you know, billions of dollars of sales. I mean, Shaw's a $4 billion company, and they've got 80% of their commercial carpet is Cradle Cradle certified. So we have, we feel very fortunate to sort of be the overseer of the program now, and trying to teach consulting firms around the world, really, to help companies go through the program and achieve the certification.
And it was another thing to me, that it was the openness of companies can go. It's a very open process where they can, you know, textile manufacturers, whatever, has access to your information to look. And one of the ones, I mean, I have to tell you, I was cracking up. You cannot listen to Bill's TED Talk once, unless you're really a super fast listener, because he packed a lot of content into that TED Talk. But he talks about the magnitude of things like 8,000 chemicals when they look at one thing in a textile, 8,000 chemicals, and testing those for their, you know, your standards, and eliminating all, it was some ridiculous amount. They eliminated 8,000 something. I had to listen to it a couple times, but it's a rigorous, rigorous process.
It is, and sometimes what we find, and the reason we still have innovation in our name, is that you need a material and it hasn't been invented yet. So one of the things we want to try to do is start this whole product innovation piece where we're inventing new materials and new processes, because, you know, there's a lot of materials that are going into the landfill that are super valuable, but we've got to create a marketplace for those, and we've got to create the infrastructure in order to collect those. And I'm I'm seeing a lot of entrepreneurial things right now. There's a really neat organization in California called Eco ATM, and you can take your phone, any kind of digital phone, you set it on top of a little scanner.
I saw it.
Exactly what it's worth.
All right, we have to take a quick break. Our break. We'll be right back, and we'll, you know, come back with that and talk a little bit about the newest innovation that you're working in the Fashion Institute. Everybody, stay here with me. We'll be right back.
Think blue. Think beyond green. Think TDI Clean Diesel Technology. One part of the Volkswagen Think Blue initiative, our goal of creating and encouraging eco-conscious products and behaviors. This is Mrs. Green. A car that can drive a long way should still make you want to, well, drive a long way. Volkswagen Jetta's TDI Clean Diesel is a high-mileage vehicle that lets you stop at the filling station less often so you can spend more time enjoying the road. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI.
Bookman Sports Exchange is now open at 3330 East Speedway. We're taking our passion and experience of buying, selling, and trading books and music and applying it to the world of sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear. We are giving you another way to save money on the things that you love, Bookman style. Remember, Bookman Sports Exchange, sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear, now open daily from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Speedway east of Country Club. Check out bookmans.com for more info.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Please remember that Mrs. Green's World membership program is alive and growing. We would love for you to become an official supporter of Mrs. Green's World to help keep our broadcasts free and independent. You can become a member by visiting our website at mrsgreensworld.com and click on the Preserve Our Planet icon in the upper right-hand corner, and we certainly hope that you will consider doing just that. And another quick reminder, we love to officially say there's an app for that, for listening to our podcast. It's called Igloo Radio. And again, visit our homepage, download the free mobile app, and you're there. It works for all mobile devices, and we are getting really great feedback continuously from our listeners about now they don't just have to listen on their computer, they can listen on any of their mobile devices. So for those of you who might have just joined us, it's my pleasure to have as our guest today Bridget Luther. She's the president of Cradle to Cradle Products Innovation Institute. She comes with a long history of involvement in environmental protection and efforts to protect natural resources for future generations. But, and I think, Bridget, are you a mom and a grandmom? Did I read that?
Yes, I'm a mom and a grandmom. My daughter has, and her husband have two adorable boys. One is 4 and the other one just turned 1. So they keep me busy, and they also remind me that, you know, why I'm doing this. And because so much of what we do for kids is much more impactful because they're small. You know, and they don't have the, they can't fight off all the toxins the way the rest of us. And also, it's just doing this sort of makes me realize that it's my little way of showing the world that, you know, we can all make a difference if we just put our mind to it.
So, it's a huge motivator. I mean, it is. I look at my grandchildren and I say, yeah, I'm doing it for them and even for their children. That's how rapidly I think things are changing. But we are women on big missions. So let's go back to, I'm sorry we had to rush to that break. It just comes up and there it goes. It's all programmed in. But you were talking about a hopeful sign, and I did notice that, the Eco ATM in California. So explain to our listeners what that is. That's a great innovation.
It's a great innovation, and that's what I'm saying. It's part of the design, how do we get things back? You know, getting cell phones back is certainly a business now, and people are seeing that cell phones have a lot of very valuable materials that would be great to recycle them and reuse them rather than putting them into some strange ship and have them go off to somewhere where they're not being recycled very effectively. And the Eco ATM, you put your phone on top of it, it does a little scan of your phone, and it'll tell you how much it's worth, and you drop it in there, and the cash comes right out. So it's really great, especially all of us have lots of old phones sitting around my house, and I took them over there, and, you know, some of them are pretty old and they're not worth much, but at least I know they're getting recycled properly.
Going to the right place. It's a great innovation, which is a perfect segue to one of your newest endeavors, I believe it is anyway, launched in 2013 by the Cradle to Cradle Products Innovation Institute, Fashion Positive, and how that has been developed to support the fashion industry. Can you talk about that and what the challenges are and what you're doing there? And also, can I come to the gala in November? I'm just kidding. It's like, whoa, I was wish you were here. Hashtag, you want to be here.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. The Cradle to Cradle certification is, it can be certified anything from carpet to shampoo. But the next place where we felt like we needed some solution paths was sort of in the fashion industry. And if we could certify safe and healthy dyes, if we could certify the yarns and the fibers, and then some designer could just say, send me all the Cradle certified stuff, I'm going to make myself this cool dress, then we could have a real impact on the planet. So, yeah, we started that. We've got some really great partnerships that are bubbling up with amazing different small fashion houses, large retailers, and we'll be announcing those at our Innovation Celebration in New York in November. We have the celebration in New York because we have so much activity in Europe, and we want our European companies to come over. And matter of fact, one of the fashion houses we're looking to partner with is based in the Netherlands, and there's a lot going on over there as well. They're very invested in Europe and Cradle to Cradle because they don't have as much land space.
Exactly.
They really like to get rid of landfills.
Right.
And so they're very motivated to keep things going around, probably more than some of us are in the United States, because we look around and we say, well, there's lots of land out there, and we'll just throw it out there and hope for the best. But there's so much innovation going on with the whole Cradle to Cradle certified products family. We love Ecovative, so there's this amazing young man, and he got all inspired by Cradle to Cradle, and he invented a replacement for styrofoam that's made out of mushrooms.
You are
kidding.
So
imagine imagine you got this big box with a television in it, and instead of having all this white stuff, you have this like really kind of brown looking thing. You say, oh, I would just put that in my garden. It's really good looking. It can protect the television beautifully, and it has this great end result because it just goes out in the yard because it's a mushroom. The rain goes on it, and it just disappears.
What is the name of the company? Did you say Ecovative?
Ecovative. Yeah, they're really, really a great company.
Sounds like a show guest for Mrs. Green's World.
Always, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And they would be great. And I love Method. Method has got on the way to having 100% of their products certified at the gold level, so it means it can do incredible cleaning, and the materials in it are safe for people and planet. So you have this company that's absolutely invested in green chemistry and making a chemical that doesn't harm people, doesn't harm fish, and actually cleans your dishes great. I love their new Power Foam. Oh my gosh, it can clean grease. I cleaned out a 15-year-old pot that was burnt with popcorn on the bottom, and I said, I'm going to squirt some of this in the bottom, let it set for a couple minutes, and scrub that thing. It was like new.
Oh, my God, I love it.
I know. It's great. I love. Well, of course, they're really good looking, and they smell amazing because they're using all natural scents. And I like G-Diapers. You know, there's a big G-Diaper was the first consumer-based product that was Cradle Cradle certified. And so you get this little outside thing, and then you put like a little diaper, so it's a plastic cover. You throw this little insert in the middle. Well, that insert's then compostable when it gets wet. And they have a great community of G-Diaper moms that all blog with each other. And it's just really super impactful because it's kind of that nice in-between, you know, the cloth diaper, you know, does it really work? And it's a lot of energy cleaning the stuff. And then the disposable, well, the G-Diaper fits right there in the middle of that. And it's great, super easy to use, you know, and like I say, there's this whole community around it. So if you don't want to buy all the covers, there's always somebody that wants to send you their old covers, and they're really fun. They're based in Portland.
It's the mommy bloggers. Again, it's the mommy connection that really motivates. And I just, with great enthusiasm, invite our listeners to go to gdiapers.com. for the sheer entertainment of it alone. I mean, they go through it, it just cracks you up. And, you know, they tell you exactly step by step what to do, how to use it. The cradle to cradle certification is right there. But it's pretty funny. I'm like, I was reading it. I'm like, what? Composting the wet ones? And it's just, about, it gets you so excited, because I was back in the day, you know, the old hippie, where you had to get cloth diapers and they were labor intensive, smelly, horrible. And we thought we were doing the right thing from saving the disposable ones from the landfill. And at times when I did use disposable diapers, I felt like they were better on my baby's bottoms than cloth diapers. So G diapers, I was like, when someone on your staff sent me some talking points, I'm like, what? Because I haven't changed diapers for a while. With my grandchildren, they're 9 and 13. So it was great to learn that. And let's go back to method again, if you don't mind. One of the things that people say frequently in my world is, well, that's easy, but going green is more expensive. Method is another that explodes the myth. It's readily available. You don't have to use, like, you don't have to do 16 sprays. It's more concentrated. It is natural. It doesn't hurt you, your kids, your pets, you know, your asthma, your elderly parents. So do you get that challenge of people saying, well, if we do that, it's going to cost us more, therefore the consumer more?
Well, sure. But I think in Cradle, you know, particularly my hat's off to Method, because they're really promoting themselves as a quality product, which is what it is. It just happens to be made with really good chemicals. And that's sort of, you know, you can get a natural product. You can have arsenic in it.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You can have mercury is natural.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be careful about some of these claims, because, you know, using good chemicals is really better for the planet, because if everybody decided they were going to put blueberries as part of their soap formulation, there would be no blueberries to eat.
We'd be in so much trouble.
So we have to be really careful about the whole natural piece. I mean, I think it's great. Aveda shampoo, they have all of their shampoos Cradle to Cradle certified. And both Aveda and Method have gone the extra step of doing some really amazing stuff with their packaging as well. The Method team pulling plastic all out of the ocean, using it in their bottles, just to sort of make people realize that, you know, there is a second market for all these recycled plastics if companies would just start using them. Aveda uses a very high-density plastic for all of their shampoos because they're absolutely committed to making their bottles from recycled material. So they, in part of the certification, they've gone from a 50% recycled material product to 100% post-consumer recycled product. And plus, their shampoo is amazing and wonderful, and it's great on your hair, and it's good for the fish and the water and all of that. So you're not rinsing something down the drain.
That's toxic, right?
You don't really know. So those, you know, unfortunately, most of our things that are certified have something to do with the built environment. So that's not, you can't just go into a store and find a whole shelf of Cradle to Cradle certified products. But we're trying to change that.
And Aveda is a perfect example, like, to me, in terms of continuing education and, as you call it, evolution. I am a total Aveda fan. Use it all. Go to the Aveda Institute here. Go to the salon called Vervey that uses only, you know, Aveda products. And this is part of the continuing education for the consumer. I buy these huge quantities of shampoo and conditioner because when I went in there, you know, one of the stylists said, well, if you buy the big size, you're not replacing the containers as much. You know, so you have far more use and far more manufacturing and production and shipping and all of that. So it's another way of, you know, continuing to educate yourself on what's going to be the best buy for you and the best purchase for impacting the environment. And there, as my husband says, when you go into an Aveda salon, they don't stink. He walked in once to pick me up and he said, it doesn't stink in here, because a lot of the harsher chemicals that are used in other salons, they really are harsh odors as well. Okay.
Yeah, and I think we're going to move to a space where it's not just where quality equals green. I think we're seeing that across the board. And then what you find is consumers do pay more for quality and the companies that are involved with cradle-to-cradle certification really have the quality products. And so that's why, and it's important to, you know, support these companies that are doing the right thing with our purchasing.
And what you, what I love is once you do the research and you know, and there is the certification, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to go in the store and spend a half hour reading labels to see, you know, if you're doing the right thing. So let's talk about two shockers to me, because they were shockers and I really did do my homework. How about the cradle-to-cradle car and the cradle-to-cradle shoes for Nike? Those are innovations. Can you talk about those a little bit? And the Dearborn plant. I mean, I could go on and on.
Right, right. The you know, those were all things that Michael and Bill were designing back in the day. And
I was like, what?
I think that the just the cradle-to-cradle-inspired design for the car plant with Ford was just a great story, where they decided to, you know, use natural processes for cleaning water rather than putting in a big, huge filtration system, and actually saved money and did some nice, you know, just going to the whole idea of let's create a manufacturing facility where children can play. And if you sort of think about that vision, a manufacturing facility where children could play, that's very different than what was there before. And they, the people at Ford got inspired by that vision, but they also got inspired by the cost savings. So many times you find that doing the right thing also has a huge bottom line benefit. And I think the team at Ford found that out. And there's been many, many, many examples like that. And we have this impact study that we've done with 10 different companies. And what we tried to do is take the vision and put some numbers to it and say, look, if the company did this, what would be the impact on the environment? But also, did it have a positive impact on the bottom line? And it did. So we're excited about that, and excited to try to put a few numbers, because there are the bean counters out there who really want to know, oh, yeah, it's a great vision, but I know it's going to cost more. It's going to cost my company a lot of money. It just doesn't. And the companies that have done it have said they've really benefited from it, not only internally, but also with their customers.
And the Dearborn plant, it was a big number. It was like $35 million. It wasn't, you know, $250,000. It was some magnificent number that I'm sure they were really jumping up and down about. And that whole thing, again, I just say to people, look, just in make it a really good experience for you to look at that TED Talk that Bill did, because it'll make your life better, and how the deer started showing up. And, I mean, it just... it's pretty amazing, and one outstanding example of innovation and change. And what about Nike, cradle-to-cradle shoes?
Yeah, that was, you know, they really took the whole cradle-to-cradle idea and kind of ran with it, no pun intended. But they've been really on the forefront of new materials and really pushing the envelope and trying to do the right thing for the planet as well. So we don't have as much interaction with them, because Puma is the one who created the InCycle collection, which is actually cradle-to-cradle certified. So I know more about that than I do about some of the early work that Bill did with Nike.
And Puma is doing not just the shoes. That's what I love. They're doing clothing and everything. I love it. InCycle collection, these concepts that people come up with. So I'll be hashtagging Puma when we promote the show, for sure.
Yeah, it's really fun. And they've really embraced it, and they just figured out that, yeah, we could get this stuff back, and a lot of, like, nylon jackets, track bags, those kinds of things really could be, they could recycle them, and they have these take-back boxes in their stores where they're actually trying to take old things back and recycle them in a way that's super positive for the fashion industry. You know, they're now saying that there are a couple companies out there that are trying to figure out how to recycle cotton, so you could actually take the T-shirt back. They'd make it into a new T-shirt for you. And in some of the stores, they'll give you a little coupon. So North Face, if you go into North Face, they've got the take-back boxes, and you bring something in, they'll give you a coupon to use in the store right then. I think it's $10. So, you know, It's great.
Every little bit, it helps. That's how I feel. It's like small step, big impact. And we're going to have take another break, but it's a perfect segue when we come back. Let's talk a little bit about the product registry. How do you find Cradle to Cradle certified products and the role of the consumer on what to do? Because I think there's a really important piece of, you know, consumers making an intentional difference. And I'd like your opinion also. These will be things for you to think about on our short break. Where do you think the consumer is right now? Is it moving in the, are we as consumers moving slowly, slow, medium, or fast into the more conscious living? Because, you know, you have a global view, you do that. And then we'll end up with what is your strategy for helping to engage more consumers and raise awareness? So everybody, we have a lot to talk about in the last segment. You'll want to please stay here with us. We're having a wonderful conversation. This is just kind of blowing me away. Bridget, stay here with us. Everybody will be right back.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some pretty impressive news about the VW Jetta TDI. It's got a turbocharged clean diesel engine, it's 90% cleaner than previous diesel engines, it gets 609 miles on one tank of gas, more than the Prius. That's from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego and halfway back. And it's got an amazing 6-speed Tiptronic transmission. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI or visit ChapmanTucson.com.
We rely on your generosity for our inventory. Homeowners, renters, contractors, and business owners keep the Habit Store stocked with building supplies, furniture, and appliances. You can drop off your donations or give us a call at 889-7200 to schedule a free pickup of items that are in good condition. Your donations means Habitat Tucson can build and renovate more homes for hardworking people. The Habit Store's hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 4, and you'll find us on Grant Road just east of I-10 in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And we are certainly giving everyone a lot to think about today. If you're just joining us, our extremely knowledgeable and passionate guest is Bridget Luther. She's the president of Cradle to Cradle Products Innovation Institute. She comes to the Institute with a long history of involvement in environmental protection, and efforts to protect natural resources for future generations to come. That is our children and our grandchildren. She is a mom and a grandmom on a mission to protect our children and our environment. Bridget, thank you so much for being here. I think I'm having too much fun on my own show. It's like I gotta get focused here, but I'm learning so much and it's just been delightful. So can we talk a little bit now about the product registry and how it really is easier than ever to find cradle-to-cradle certified products?
Yeah, it really is. I think for your listeners, though, it's probably not as important. It's more for architects.
Right.
Anybody who's specifying.
Builders, yeah.
Builders, those kinds of people. Because, you know, maybe if you were renovating a home, you'd want to take a look on there and see what's out there. We've got some great products. Most of the tile is taking all the toxins out of their tile. They make an amazing tile. I love these Tongawa Sangio people. They have a plaster they're shipping from Japan that actually pulls the volatile organic compounds out of the air and the humidity. So if you're living in a humid place, that's obviously not Arizona, but you know, there are some interesting building materials on there, and it's good to support companies that are trying to do the right thing, you know, with your purchasing dollars. And I think that as consumers become more aware, we're trying to make things easy for them. You know, if you can see the Cradle Cradle certified label on something, you know this company is completely invested in making the world better. Not just being static, but taking their products and really thinking, you know, what's going to happen to this product when you're finished sitting in that chair, when this bottle's getting into the recycling bin, it's got, you know, all of those materials have a place to go. So I guess for me, when I first got involved in the whole environmental movement, it made me so, like, what am I going to do with my stuff, you know? But if I really do this the way everybody was talking about, I'm going to be living in a cave, growing my own food and, you know, harvesting cotton to make my own clothes.
And living in a yurt. I know, that's like the composting toilet.
And, yeah. And then when I heard William McDonough speak, and I just thought, this is what I want. I want a world where I don't have to feel guilty about this.
Exactly.
I laugh at my friend's got this house that's completely solar powered, and it drives me nuts. Because when I go over there, she's like, the lights are blaring, you know, everything's on. She's got all her hot water is being solar heated in. I'm just like, wow. And she's like, you know what? I'm even giving more energy back to the grid. And so, yeah, I'm leaving my lights on because I like to have a room with light. And it's just, if you think about that, it's just a really freeing feeling. So it wouldn't really matter if all the cars are powered with renewable energy, then does it really matter? You know, you can kind of just go to this really positive space. I was in a cell phone design conference, and everyone said, oh, we should make the telephone people tell us how much radiation is coming off their phones and all this other kind of stuff. And I said, well, if you do it the cradle-to-cradle way, we'd actually be thinking about creating a telephone that actually enhanced hearing.
Wow.
And you can see, you know, this little twist in your thinking is what's so important about cradle-to-cradle, because you start, let me make something that makes people's lives and the world better. Now you're talking. Now you're having fun. Now you're not worrying about how many people. I love it when Dr. Brungardt says, the mass of ants is greater than the mass of humans on the planet.
Excellent.
And no one ever says there's too many ants.
Right.
Think about that for a minute. The mass of ants is greater than the mass of humans on the planet.
Yeah, I love it. So basically what you were doing was starting an evolution when you made that comment about what the cell phone manufacturer should be doing. So that's a very...
I see this over and over again with all these. You know, there's a Las Vegas Rock. They're a mining company, but oh my goodness, they got so engaged with Cradle to Cradle. They are like the most sustainable mining company on the planet. They recycle their water. They figured out how to keep the dust down. You know, they're just super, super engaged. Meet a guy that makes pallets. You know, he's like, I just feel like I'm doing my part. So it goes the whole gamut. Oh, this cool shampoo company in Taiwan. It's called Hair O'Right. Probably not the best marketing name, but bless them. They have made a compostable bottle, and they put a seed for a tree in the bottom. So when you're finished with the shampoo, you go stick the bottle on the ground, and then you've got this tree that grows in Taiwan, and, you know, game over. So it's just
game
so
over. I love it. And I'm still stuck on the mushroom packaging. Believe me. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Mushroom packaging. It could be awesome. You know, you don't have to deal with anything. You just grow. The manufacturing facility could have the mushroom packaging growing plant right next. They wouldn't have to ship styrofoam in. They'd just have it right there. They would take the thing out there, make the thing, grow it up, stick the television set in there, and call it a day.
I know.
So
I
there's
just,
so many.
And styrofoam is nasty stuff. So it's like, and one of the things I just have to comment on is that whole thing that you mentioned earlier in the segment about, this is not about shame, blame, and guilt. This is about hope, possibility, and change, and innovation. And I don't want people to make me feel guilty. It's the whole mantra of Mrs. Green's world. What can I do to make a difference? Let me ask you this. What is your strategy, or is it even one of them, to try to engage more consumers and raise awareness for focus on what you're doing. I mean, you said this is a big, huge piece of it is the manufacturing of products, but in terms of your mission, is one of the your intentions to actually engage more consumers to support the products that have gotten the certification?
Yeah, so we've been trying to roll out by sector. So we have had a lot of success with green architects needing green building materials, so a lot of cradle-cradle certified building materials. And part of the new LEED standards, you get points for having cradle-cradle certified products in your building. So anybody that's building the building, look for those cradle-cradle certified products because those companies are really trying to make a difference on the planet. The next space is this whole idea of fashion and how do we get fashion to have positive impact. And you know, fast fashion has gotten a bad name. How do we turn that into this positive impact where we're actually saying, you know, buying a new T-shirt is a good thing. And by the way, here's the old T-shirt. And I know you, retailer, are going to take that T-shirt back and do something amazing with it. And you start this whole sort of positive conversation with your consumers and the people that are coming into stores. And the next place we want to go is baby products. I think there's a huge opportunity to get a lot of cradle-cradle certified products, whether it's the baby bed, the stroller, the shampoo, the clothes that go on the baby. And, you know, we have a little foothold with G diapers, but we're hoping to really get into the baby space over the next couple of years and really be the trusted brand for moms and dads because, look, we're all super busy and we're looking to do the right thing. And we're mothers and we're grandmothers, and I don't have time to research all this. I just want something that tells me I know that company's doing the right thing and that product's going to be safe for my baby. So that's my sort of next little project that I want to work on.
That's a big one. That's a really big one.
It's a big one. There's a lot of stuff out there, and there's a lot of mucky stuff. And even, you know, me, I don't exactly know where to start half the time. And I'd love to see some of those companies step up and get their products cradle-cradle certified so that we can get toxins out of products and provide a space for the toys and have a collection system where, you know, we're either sharing the toys or giving them back and having them made into new toys. And I think often to my children's plastic houses, and I don't even know where that thing went, but it got a lot of use. There was
think
a lot
about
of plastic
it too.
In it.
I know. Every yes, I mean, no kidding. It goes from generation to generation. And the other one was Bill talked about it, is the rubber ducky. That made me sick. Like, literally, I buy those little rubber duckies when I travel for my kids, like with cucumbers on their eyes and turbans on their heads. Well, there'll be no more rubber duckies coming from Mrs. Green. They're toxic. It made me really,
yeah.
And he said, why should we have to worry about that? So I, you know, my guilt runneth over. I didn't do my homework on that one. They're, you know, it's like, oh, they're so cute, and they keep them lined up on their bathtub. And hopefully none of their babies will ever put them in their mouth because that would really not be a good thing to do.
So, yeah, you know, there's just so much increase in disease, and we know there are some many environmental toxins out there, and maybe a little dose here and a little dose there is not that great, but everything that we're putting on ourselves from our shampoo to our creams to our suntan lotions, it really starts to add up, and it does impact us. It is getting into our water and getting into our system, so I want to get on the front of that, but you know, still working on that, and maybe I'll get back on your show here in a year or so, and we'll have fun, and I'll tell you all the companies that have gotten their.
I mean, for babies, that would be that'll be a note that I certainly give to Kelly. You know, another piece that's going along with that when you're talking about moms and mommy bloggers and the millennials, how are you incorporating the use of social media and its impact or added value for raising awareness? Is that part of, are you there yet?
There's a lot of interest right now in what we're doing with the toxic materials and safe and healthy products for buildings. And so we're blogging a lot about that, talking a lot about that. That seems to be the whole idea of transparency. What's in my product? Can I get out the bad things? What are the alternatives? So we do quite a bit, and I would encourage anyone listening to be a Facebook friend. We're C2C certified, and they can get on our Facebook page and just kind of follow us and know what we're doing. And we do have the occasional events. We have office here in San Francisco. The majority of our staff is here, but we also have staff in Chicago and Raleigh, North Carolina, and we have an office in the Netherlands. So, and we do training, and we hold events, and we try to just really spread the word and, you know, help people understand what we're trying to do. It's not just about, it's not about green. It's about trying to make stuff have a positive impact. And I think that's just a very different sort of scenario. And I think it'll have a, I think it has a lot of resonance with people today that care about those kinds of things.
You know, I could not agree with you more. And I think I asked you if you, I don't think I even let you answer the question about the consumer awareness piece, because sometimes I live in a world where I think everybody is living at the same level of consciousness that I am, which is not a judgment. It's I'm Mrs. Green, and I interview these unbelievable guests every week. So my awareness, my family's awareness has dramatically increased. But in terms of the average consumer, are you seeing it trending positively? Is the needle moving forward? Are we static? What's the Bridget Luther thoughts on where's the consumer? Because we are the ones with all the power. We've got the power. We don't have to wait for somebody to give it to us. So what does Bridget Luther have to say about that?
So what we're seeing in the consumer space is a trend away from tree huggers to brand huggers.
So what
consumers are moving towards is really investing in companies who are they feel are trying to do the right thing. So if you think about the Prius owner is also buying Method soap and probably has G-Doctors at their house because they've
right.
become aware of the company and their efforts, and then they support them with their by buying their products. So they're not really looking for green products so much as they're really listening, and this is 25% of the consumers, so this is not the whole world,
right.
but the percentage is much higher than it's been before, and they're active consumers. So this is not your Haight Ashbury hippie, you know, keeping things forever. This is your very sophisticated young mom going out saying, I'll support this company because I know they're trying to do the right thing. And that's why when I see companies like Shaw, G Diapers, Method, Pendleton. I love Pendleton. You know, they have an EcoWise blanket, and it's, you know, they sell it in the Land's End catalog as well. And, you know, they're a U.S. textile manufacturer. Those are few and far between. So I become a huge Pendleton fan because I've met with them and talked to them about their Cradle Cradle certified products. But those kinds of consumers are becoming much more prevalent and targeted by companies, and that's why I think companies now are more anxious to figure out how to tell their sustainability story to those consumers, and Cradle to Cradle certification is a perfect way because it's a brand, it's a mark that goes onto your product.
And it's, I mean, I love it. It's going to be, we'll put that out on social media, tree huggers to brand huggers. I love it. That's another, just when I get those little phrases, write them down and get excited. What about the Bridget Luther perspective on where's the retailer? Like, I read so much about places like Walmart. Without them, we can't move the needle forward in many areas because they control so much of the purchasing of the products. Target, in the food industry, Whole Foods, they're game changers. So what do you do in terms of impacting them or even having conversations with them about, to me, it becomes more of the social responsibility part of making these products available to consumers, or is it the consumer has to ask, chicken or the egg?
I think it's a little bit of both because Walmart was able to enjoy a lot of savings when they moved to renewable energy. So they were doing
right.
the right thing, but it impacted their bottom line. And I think a lot of companies are seeing doing the right thing has this huge, because they answer to shareholders and they have that responsibility as well. I do think that the big push always comes from the early adopter consumers
yep.
who kind of say, you know, look, the bisphenol A didn't come out of the baby bottles because some company decided they wanted to get rid of bisphenol A, which was, you know, not something that you want to put in the baby bottle because it can have huge impact on the baby. It was because a bunch of moms found out that stuff was terrible and started saying, I'm not going to buy a baby bottle with that anymore. And overnight, the market changed. So
same,
I think there's
changed.
A little bit of
yeah.
both.
And it's organic just, milk. I mean, that was another one where the moms really, there was an uprising and they said, we want hormone-free milk. You got to do it. And they did.
Yeah, and you do see that customers pay more for quality.
Yeah, they do.
So organic milk is a bit more. It's usually at least 25 cents a half gallon more, and it's you pay it and you don't think twice because you know I'm getting a quality product. And so I think there's a lot of that quality. And I think you'll see some of the companies that have focused more on green talking more to their customers about the quality product.
And I agree. And yeah. I have to cut you off, but guess what? We'll have another conversation in a year, and we'll be talking about babies. Thank you so much, Bridget Luther, President of Cradle to Cradle Products Innovation Institute. Next week, Mark Yagi, Executive Director of Waterkeeper Alliance. Make it a great green week, everybody, and thank you for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.